Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Michael Tate, welcome to Open House. Welcome to Australia,
too. Good to be here, Sharon.
Yeah, you had a good time so far?
So far, good time. Started off on the Gold Coast.
Okay, Gold Coast.
Very nice.
You're going to get to Sydney, Melbourne, Toowoomba already?
Toowoomba already, yeah. Okay. Toowoomba rock, man. Good time. I called it Toowoomba at first. I didn't realize it was called Toowoomba.
Yeah.
I said Toowoomba. That's probably the wrong.
You probably called it Brisbane as well, did you?
No, I called it Brisbane.
Very good.
See?
Yeah.
See? That's right.
Good stuff. You're one of seven kids, aren't you?
I am. Crazy.
What was it like growing up in a family like that?
Well, I actually had two brothers and sisters, too, that were like a kind of stepbrothers and sisters. So we have a baby of nine. So it was kind of crazy. I mean, a big family, a lot of Christmas gifts, a lot of Thanksgiving turkey, a lot of fights. Five older abusive sisters.
Were they?
Yeah.
To what degree?
They beat me pretty bad, Sharon.
Did they?
Yeah.
You're still...
Into submission.
Still recovering?
Still recovering
is
today,
that right?
Yes.
Therapy's working? Actually, I'm surprised you said that you got lots of presents. I would have thought, you know, larger families, there's not enough to go around.
I didn't say they were extravagant.
Oh, okay.
There were lots of presents. You know, socks, you know, shoes,
yeah,
a hat, a scarf, a tie, just stuff, you know.
And your dad was a preacher and a taxi driver.
That's right. My dad preached in his taxi cab. And he also preached at a small church in D.C. growing up. It was a church made up of mostly my family members, some of the cousins. And it grew to be bigger than that, but it started out very, very small.
Yeah.
And so, like, he would give me an allowance on Saturday, you know, a little change in my pocket, and put it in church on Sunday morning.
Yeah, right.
That's simple.
In the offering.
Yeah.
That's probably half of the budget, too,
That's
wasn't
right.
it?
Yes. It was.
So he was a taxi driver first and felt a call to
he
preach?
He was, yes, and he felt a call to preach. His favorite verse in the Bible was Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that wineth souls is wise. Mm. So he always felt like, you know, his mission on earth was to be an ambassador, you know, and we're here for a short time and make it count. So he preached in the church, in the pulpit, and he preached in the cab.
Good on him. How did he affect your life?
Oh, my gosh, majorly. My dad was my hero. To grow up in the inner city of D.C. and to have an African-American mom and dad that were together was a big deal, let alone believers and together. That's a miracle. So... You know, when he passed away back in 97, 98, he was married to my mom for 54 years. So,
a beautiful legacy.
Oh, no question. And left an imprint on my life for sure. And he influenced me. I mean, he wasn't just a sayer, he was a doer. And a lot of affection, a lot of personal time, because love is time. He spent time with me, you know, and that's a big deal when all around you see families that are broken up, and you see kids that aren't with the moms or the dads, or just have one or the other, you know? So that was impactful for me.
Where did the music come in? Which side of the family introduced you to music?
Well, my mom, I always say my dad gave me my speaking voice, my mom gave me my singing voice. They both had great timbre in their voices, you know? And my mom sang a bit when she was younger. And dad wants the credit, but mom gets it.
Is that right? And where did you first start off playing and singing? What was your first introduction?
My sister sang before I sang. I wasn't really into
this. This is before or after they beat you?
After the abuse, yes.
All right.
Yes. My sister sang first, and Sharon and Linda. And I kind of got into it later on because I figured, you know what? If they can do it, I can do this too. It was that simple, you know? And I was always afraid to sing in public, Sharon. And I was always like, oh, I'm not sure about this. And so I sang one time Amazing Grace in my dad's church, and it went over pretty well, so I thought, I'll try this for a while. But never knew it would go to this level, you know? Who knows when you start out, you know?
You think
you just do a couple church services and call it a day. But much deeper than that.
Who'd know?
Yeah.
Open House is what you're listening to. Michael Tate from DC Talk, now with the Newsboys, is with us. Talking about that family life, I know that one of the things you've been involved in recent times is Bono's work with AIDS. And,
yes,
of course, that touched you personally as well with,
yes,
your sister.
Yes.
Which sister was it, actually, who you did lose?
My sister Sharon. She passed away, left two kids behind. And she was had a bit of a wild lifestyle, and she was into heroin and drugs, and it just took its toll on her. And the thing about it, we never knew about it. We never knew she contracted the disease, HIV/AIDS. We never knew it, and she told my girlfriend at the time that she was going through something, and she told her that she had, you know, she had contracted it, and it was just a matter of months. 5-6 months later, she passed away. Up until then, it was just like a world, you know, a crisis in Africa or somewhere. It seemed so far away from us. Had no idea it would touch our family, you know, come to my doorstep. But it's a wake up call,
yeah,
you know, for me it was, and the whole Bono initiative and just the whole impact it's making on culture is awesome. And Bono's a dear, dear, dear dear mate, good guy.
Well, it's amazing the way that he's actually expressed his personal faith in his music with you too for all of these years, and then done things like the One Campaign or Data or whatever it actually might be. When you look back and see just for the few years that these kind of AIDS initiatives that you've been involved in have actually gone, I mean, are you happy with the progress? I mean, are we making some sort of progress when it comes to the AIDS?
No question. And I think we're making progress. Yes, progress is happening. And awareness is happening even more, which is great, because that's how progress happens, you know, when you're aware of it. But also, too, Bono said something very interesting. He talked about when he came to Nashville, we all met. He talked about how it's really the church's position and place. I mean, we are the believers. We are the ultimate hospice, if you will. And it's very important for us to share with people that are hurting in life, diseased or non-diseased. We all have a spiritual deficiency that needs to be met, and we have the answer. Why do we hold it back?
In fact, actually, it would have been Bono's presence at the, was it the 2004, 2005 Bill Hybels Leadership Conference that probably really connected in for Protestant evangelical churches. And since that moment, really, so many churches that I wouldn't have even expected to be taking up these kinds of causes have actually been doing it. So he's been really used to be a voice piece, a mouthpiece to actually mobilize a whole arm of the church that probably had forgotten about some of these things.
That's
probably
right.
The same kind of tradition that you and I have come from, where we didn't even think about it too much.
Of course, not. Yeah, exactly right. You hear about it and you kind of think, well, someone else will do it, you know, or this guy will do it, or this will happen eventually. But really, it's our job. It's, you know, it's our job to do this. We can't be that solace for these people, that sanctuary for these people, and for people in general, you know. It was once a sanctuary for us. We came to the church, you know, and the church stepped in me. So it's time now to be the church.
That year that you lost Sharon, that was a pretty rough year. Was it the same year that you lost also your father and
father,
I think also your mother?
No, I lost my father, sister 97, dad 98, brother 99. So it was just, it was a 1-2-3 punch. And it's one of those things where Sheridan, when you hear about it, you know, from me or from people like me that experienced that, you kind of go, wow, how did he make it? And I don't know how I did. It was just one big storm. I kept thinking, you know, what's going to happen next? You know, you don't know how to really put it into words. It's just that you have to know that God is truly in control, and those are just not words. That is a true, you know,
lived experience.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can get through it. I mean, I know a friend right now who I'm just thinking of who is going through their own experience of grief right now, and they're really starting to doubt. They're really starting to struggle with the goodness of God. Did you ever wrestle with that at all when you had such a succession of grief all at once?
Yeah, yeah. And the only thing that made it even weirder than that is that I had some success at the time with DC Talk. So my professional life was like just on the up and up, selling records, to packing out concerts and touring the world. And then over here in my personal life, it was like dad, brother, sister. It was like, God, what are you doing? You know? And of course, everyone searches like their heart and their mind and soul. What's my purpose? What's going on here? What is the purpose of all this happening? You know, where's this whole thing going? And I'm still not quite sure why it all happened. I just know that God's in control and that, you know, he loves us all. He created us all. So at the end of the day, he can take whom he wants and leave who he wants.
Sure.
And if he does it, you know, I'd have to wait for the answer maybe one day in eternity. I don't know.
Yes, yes. I always think about the book of Job and poor old Job. He never answers to his questions,
too.
Did he?
Job's my favorite guy in the Bible. Yeah. I love Job, yeah.
Overwhelming message.
He told his wife, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm not sure I could say that.
But I want to be able to.
But I want to be able to.
That kind of faith. Yeah. Open House is what you're listening to. Michael Tate is with us. DC Talk. I mean, boy, called perhaps the greatest Christian band of all. Looking back over your years with DC Talk, what are some of the most memorable moments you've actually had?
Oh, man. Billy Graham events in the States. Billy Graham, the world's greatest evangelist, of course. Gosh, the Jesus Freak Experience record, making the record, touring the record.
When I first got into radio, actually, Jesus Freak record was actually probably one of the highest rotating albums at the time. And I don't think we'll ever forget Jesus Freak, the song. It was giant, wasn't it?
It was giant. It was bigger than life. And it was, at that time, Sheridan, we had dizzying heights for success. I mean, there were times to be like, wow, this is really happening, you know?
When did you realize that? When did you think that?
In the middle of the storm, and I took a break to go home for Christmas one time, and I was walking around the neighborhoods and the stores. I saw DC Talk stuff everywhere, and people were talking about us. And there was TV commercial things going on, and I thought, wow, it's kind of weird. It's kind of freaky, you know?
Yeah.
But thank God we have people in our lives and around us and camped around us, about us, to keep us level-headed and not to be just, you know, freaks, literally freaks ourselves.
What kind of people?
Ministers, intercessors, prayer people, people praying for us, family, each other, you know, our crew. People we put in place to talk management to keep us on our nice playing field, you know.
It's so important, isn't it? Because over those that kind of mid-90s, late-90s time, we also we saw some discouraging train wrecks of people's lives. I mean, Michael English, now he's come good and he's walking really strongly now, but you think about the difficult times that he actually had. There were a number of Christian artists around about that time that kind of had public failures.
Yeah.
And that was the one real lesson, was where's the accountability? Where are those loving people that are actually there to ask those questions?
No question.
You had that.
No question. And the struggles are real. I mean, I've been through the struggles myself, Sheridan, and it's like, you know, I won't say thank God it never became public, because it's not a matter of that. It's just a matter of that. Where's your heart at the end of this thing? If you get to the end of that road, where are you? Who's there for you? Are you making a change? You know, are you going to move forward? Are you going to be bitter or better? Mm. And it's a real something really you have to think about, you have to face, especially on our level, you know.
You know my next question. What were the things you struggled with?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I got, DC Talk was over with, of course. We all took breaks. We moved to L.A. for a while. And, you know, I was working with some pretty big shots, pretty big, you know, producers out there on some stuff. And I started hanging out with, you know, the upper echelon of Hollywood. And it just kind of got to me. You can fill in the blanks, you know. It just kind of wore me after a while. And I thought, man, I'm in the wrong place. And not that Hollywood is bad, wrong. They're people like us, you know. I won't ever beat that down. I have some dear friends out there that are still dear friends. But God has called me to another level, another place. And that is what I have to do. That's what's important.
Just recently, in fact, as we record this now, I think just during the last week, I've heard about the American preacher John Piper, and he's felt that he needs to take a bit of time out of his worldwide ministry, his worldwide teaching and preaching and writing ministry, because he felt his life, he was becoming very proud. That was affecting his marriage, and it was affecting other people that he was working around him. I really applaud that, because here's a guy who said, I can see some danger down the road, and I'm going to actually take some time out now.
To armor up.
Yeah. It's a good move.
That's good. It's really good. I like that. It's encouraging.
Newsboys.
Yeah.
When you got the phone call, when Peter Filler decided it was time to call it a day, what kind of process did you think through about becoming the lead singer of Newsboys? I mean, to some degree, you guys were kind of friendly rivals over all of those years. You shared stages, etc.
It was definitely weird. I mean, let's think about it. These guys came to the States years ago, and we were the first band that took them out on tour. So they're kind of like a little brother band, you know? And I had no clue, Sheridan, back then, that I'd be the Newsboys lead singer. I'd have been like, are you kidding me? They're our rivals. Get out of here. We say yo, they say oi. You know? No, you know?
Jump, how high?
Exactly. But looking back now, I laugh and I go, wow. You know, that when the call came a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago, I thought about it. And I said, man, this is when I was in L.A. too. I was kind of going through all that turmoil and thinking, man, do I really want to do this thing right now? Or am I going to pursue this road I'm already on? I thought, no. So I thought about it for about a month. Prayed and thought some more and prayed some more and thought some more and prayed some more. And I said, okay, I'm just going to try it out, you know? Knowing the Newsboys fans were cult fans. Mm-hmm. You do the songs, you do the shows, you better be on cue, otherwise you're going to go boo you off the stage, you know? And it wasn't even a month or two before people started going, wow, we get this, we like this. So almost, you could say immediate acceptance. And it's been a blessing ever since. I mean, the records started coming together after that. We started putting Born Again, the record, together. Mm-hmm. And I think what people saw was a hungry heart. A heart that obviously still in the scene for the right purpose, and that is to love on people, reach people, to answer people's questions to the gospel. Why are we here? Why do we exist? What is our purpose? Where are we going? Mm-hmm. And those things have always been at the forefront of my mind and my heart. And Newsboys has given me the platform now to continue the tradition that I did with DC Talk, now with the Newsboys. So I just smile and go, wow, God knew it all along. And it's working, and I love the guys. I know the songs. I'm writing new songs for the band now, and it's just been great.
So the Born Again album from Newsboys is coming out in July.
Comes out in July, the 8th,
There's also a kind of a half-finished Tate album as well on the go, isn't there?
You mean the Loveology project?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right now that's in, it's on the shelf.
Oh, okay.
I was working on that in California.
Yes.
But Born Again right now is, I'm full head, full board with Newsboys.
Okay. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. So, you know, end of the day, why do you do this, man? Why do you do what you do, and why do you continue to do it with DC Talk, with Newsboys, with your solo projects, Tate, etc.?
I love it. I believe in it. And I believe that one of the greatest gifts ever is music. I mean, I am so blessed. I love to sing. I love to write. I love to use music as a conduit, a tool, because it's so powerful. Music is global. And sometimes, I say this often, Sheridan, sometimes the only way to a kid's heart or a human's heart, nowadays especially, is through their headphones. Mm-hmm. So music says a lot. Sometimes it says more than parents, preachers, and definitely politicians.
So I think you're right there.
Yeah, yeah. So for sure, it's like I'm in a very, very impactful medium, and I love doing it.
Yes. Well, it's been great talking to you, Michael.
You too, Sheridan.
Enjoy the rest of your time in Australia.
Bless you, brother.
You too.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast, thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.